Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Donna Ganny, and I'm broadcasting live here with the co-host, Minister Belinda McKenzie. And we're here discussing the topic that we've been on. This is our sixth series, and we're talking about the Kingdom Keys, Strong Christian Leadership, Making Decisions and Being Accountable. And we're on our sixth series. We went over seven key points to strong leadership that we've been focusing on. The first one was worship, relationship, and covenant with God. So you can always look back to some of the prior messages and on our Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Empowerment, Inc. website, and you can listen to some of the past shows. Again, the first series was worship, relationship, and covenant with God. Second one was developing genuine trust and credibility. Third, sharing the vision with concise clarity. Number four, help followers to succeed in through Christian coaching and mentoring. Also, communicating and listening. Number five. So, again, we're on series number six, Make Decisions and Be Accountable. Number seven will be next week, and we'll be talking about remaining under the control of God. So in series six, we're going to start out with, again, making decisions and being accountable. Minister Belinda, can I ask you to please open us up in prayer?
Yes. Father, we ask you, Lord, to be in the midst of us, God. And let your will be done. Let us be led by your Spirit, God. In Jesus' name we pray, Father, for clear understanding, precise knowledge and wisdom to come from on high, Lord God, in Jesus' holy name. And we thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Belinda. Again, we've been talking about Christian leadership, how to be a strong Christian leader. And we've been throwing out some kingdom keys based on biblical word and biblical principles and biblical concepts that have been laid down by Abba Father. So I want to focus on the decision-making part, and then we'll focus on accountability. And we're going to try to cover as much as we can now through the session. The first thing that I want to point out, that one of the first major recordings and of a published decision in the history of legal jurisprudence was King Solomon's wise decision. And it comes from out of 1 Kings chapter 3, 16 through 28. 1 Kings 3:16 through 28, and I'm going to read the full chapter, and then we'll discuss it a little bit and talk about why it's important for the Christian leader to be able to make sound decisions and making them very quickly within the context of the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 3, 16 through 28, it says, "One day two women who were prostitutes came to Solomon. As they stood before him, one of the women said, 'My master, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was there with me. 3 days later, this woman also gave birth to a baby. No one else was in the house with the two of us. One night, this woman rolled over her own baby, and he died. So she took my son from my bed during the night while I was asleep, and she carried him to her bed. Then she put the dead baby in my bed. The next morning when I got up to feed my baby, I saw that he was dead. When I looked at him more closely, I realized he was not my son. No, the other woman cried. The living baby is my son, and the dead baby is yours. For the first woman said, no, the dead baby is yours, and the living one is mine. So the two women argued before the king. Then King Solomon said, one of you says, my son is alive and your son is dead. Then the other one says, no, your son is dead and my son is alive. And the king sent his servants to get a sword. When they brought it to him, he said, cut the living baby into two pieces and give each woman half. The real mother of the living child was full of love for her son. So she said to the king, please, my master, kill him. Give the baby to her. But the other woman said, neither of us will have him. Cut him into two pieces. Then King Solomon said, don't kill him. Give the baby to the first woman because she is the real mother. When the people of Israel heard about King Solomon's decision, they respected him very much. They saw he had wisdom from God to make the right decision. So when we look at this scripture, we look at the Holy Word, the Holy Bible, it tells us that King Solomon was able to make a wise decision when, and not only act in such a manner in which someone today would have said, oh, it's her baby. Give it to her. Or another one would have said, no, I feel more sympathy for this one, so give the baby to her. We will make our own interpretation or our own decision will be based on our feelings and our emotions instead of what the will of God is. But when we are children of the living God and we are Christian and Christian leaders, by all means, we stand by biblical principle first, not what moves our emotions and our feelings, in order to make a sound decision that will impact the body of Christ, will impact the mindset of the people, that will transcend Christendom into the kingdom. So when we look at King Solomon again, he seemed to pretend to be ignorant of many complicated details of this law. But he didn't say, you know, he didn't mean that he was going to allow this child to be killed, because he already has said, bring me the sword. Had it been that he placed the sword in the hands of the soldiers or the guards at that time, maybe they would have moved and acted on it when they said, split the children in half. But because of his wisdom, in which he had asked God for her, beforehand, before for that wisdom, he was able to make a sound decision and still be able to impact the system that he was in with a formal authority, which is important for the body of Christ and Christian leaders in this hour, to have a formal authority or an influence over a system, but not allow the system to overrule the body of Christ. So he didn't, when he thought out this process to determine who the real mother of the child was, he knew a real mother is not going to allow this child to die. So he, when he responded back, he said, let's divide this child in half and give it to one. Let this one take this part and let the other one take this part. He knows that by all means the real mother, having been bonded with his own mother and the affection that she showed him, according to Proverbs, that the real mother will not allow the child to be destroyed. So in his decision-making process, he looked at it from more than one angle. He didn't look at it at just one plain angle, because he realized if he would have looked at it in one angle, he would not have made a fair an appropriate or the right, the righteous decision. So the body of Christ, in order for leadership to be impact our national and address challenging national and global problems that exist with the body of Christ now, we have to begin to think differently. We cannot remain in the same thought context and expect to transcend the mindset of the people. And when we look at that, I'm saying, okay, I just want to read some notes that I made here. Christian leaders must make clear the full patterns of the problems, issues, and situations that confront the body of Christ. Christian leaders must continually clarify and expand our personal vision of focusing on the Holy Spirit's enlightenment of developing patience and seeing reality objectively. It was a reality that Solomon realized that these two babies, these two ladies were claiming this child. It was a reality that one child had died. It was a reality that needed to be handled in such a way where a decision was going to go forth and it was going to be righteously done, righteously performed, righteously taken place through the whole process. But not because of the account that one is weeping and crying and saying, this it's in my best interest. No, it's based on the righteousness of God, based on the word of God, not what we feel, how we think. It's based on the will of God, because once we begin to move in such a manner to make a decision based on our emotions, we are still in the soulless realm. We have not reached the level where God has taken us into a spiritual essence, where we are spiritual beings, and we are resigning Emmanuel, God, with us, outside of us. Minister Belinda, I'm leaving it open to you to share your thoughts on making decisions, Christian leaders making decisions.
They first have to be willing, but you did it all when you broke it down. That first of all, when God appointed Solomon, he knew that he needed the wisdom of God. How can you oversee that mass of people, a kingdom, without wisdom from God? Your natural wisdom will cause you to error, but there's no error in God. You know, he sees mm-hmm. things that we can't comprehend. You know, he said he searches the heart. And when you rely on God, you're going to make the right decisions. You're not relying on your emotions, because our emotions can deceive us. You know, it can't be based on partiality, you know, favoritism, by somebody's influence of money. It has to be based on the word of God and his wisdom and his knowledge. Any decision that's made needs to be very prayerful to seek God and to seek what the word of God says. That's your basis. You know, what does the word say? And then you have to go to the Spirit to give you understanding and the depthness of that word. A lot of times people are relying and interpreting God's word through their own soul, not by the Spirit of God. And leaders be, you know, willing to do that. Just, you know, because God's people come in many, you know, personalities, many problems, but the bottom line, God is able to give understanding for every situation by his Spirit and by his word, because the Spirit will line up with the word. You know, when Jesus said, I come to do the will of my Father, he never got an emotion. People were trying to throw emotions at him, But Amen. He always came with his word, you know. He didn't live by emotion. You know, in the Amen. Garden of decision, my goodness, he was, God had showed him the cup. His emotion said, can it pass by me three times? But the reality of it, when he prayed, he knew that that was his assignment.
Amen. 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 And I believe that Solomon also had revealed, his wisdom was revealed to society in order for people to decide that I'm going to go to Solomon because he's a just judge, yes, or he makes just decisions, uh-huh, in every matter. So they came to him looking for justice in this situation, which justice is uh-huh, being right with God. And so he, yeah, must have been judging rightly before the population, as it would be unto God. You know, some people will be like, somebody may be, you know, borderline the fence. Well, this is my sister. So since this is my sister, no matter what, I have to judge with my sister. Whereas in the kingdom of God, it's not such as so, because when you're in the kingdom of God, Christendom take full authority because we are to be Christ-like. And I believe that when God is judging us, he's not judging us based on, oh, this sin is greater or this sin is less or no, because in his eyes, sin is sin.
That's right. All the same.
That's
There's
what
no-
the Bible says. Sin is sin. So when we are making decisions as such, we have to base it based on, like you said, being very prayerful, just as it was in Series 6 when we were talking about spending time with God and being in covenant with him. Because Solomon asked God when he was a child, before he even took the position of being, yes, king, he said, give me understanding. But God said, because you have asked for understanding, I will give you wisdom.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He sought that
Amen.
First. He didn't items. He sought God, what he needed to rule over his God's people. And when you do rule in justice and fairness according to scriptures, your reputation will precede you. That's a man, that's a woman of justice. They have no falsified balances. And your leadership is affected by the right decisions you're making and by the wrong decisions. I've heard people
yeah.
say about individuals, I do not know. Later on, I would obtain some knowledge. I'm not going to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They did this and they did that. I'm not going to them people. Them people are not right. Well, they have made, by the decisions, you know, your reputation precedes you. It's either going to be yay or nay. It's either going to be good or bad.
Amen. Amen. And I think another thing that we have to be careful about as Christian leaders, too, is weighing only one side of a story. You know, one
yes.
person will come up and say, oh, they're killing me. And then the other one, you know, they'll tell their story like it's something such a big deal and be so emotional impact that the person will get drawn off into it and automatically their emotions start rolling with it. Oh, this, you know, and never hearing the whole story of the picture or looking at it from the whole picture from yeah. every dimension and every angle. Even when we're making decisions to build, you know, making a decision to build something, some person will say, well, I just want to build a house over here. You know, but if you are making a sound decision built in the building, you're going to look at, okay, I want the structure to be this. I want everything to be, you know, every intricate detail down to
yeah.
the bottom before you make a decision on something yeah. so that you will make the right and appropriate decision based on the word of God. Not that someone is coming to me, oh, I know I'm doing a good job, but they're treating me bad and all this and that. But you have to look at the whole picture of everything. Now, when you say that you're doing a good job, what do you do?
Uh-huh.
When because you say that they're treating you bad, in what way are they treating you bad? Because most of the time you will find that when you look into the whole picture, you'll find that it's not really a bad picture that is being painted as it is, but the other person needs to see themselves also instead of just, you know, being consumed in what they're saying. We have to look at the whole picture. Oh, I like this person so much, so I'll make a decision to listen to them. No, you can't do that in life. When you do that, you'll make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And before you know it, no one will trust you. You will not have that accountability that is needed in order for you to be a sound Christian leader. So if you have a body of Christ in the midst of you and you are leading them, you have to be accountable and make the right decisions in order for you to really, truly impact the kingdom of God. Minister Belinda.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm opening the floor to you.
That's why prayer is so relevant, because you can't see in a spiritual eye, the eye of God, you can't see all those fractions or all those sides of stuff. You know, but God can. There's things that you can't see that God will reveal to you, you know, and your decision will have to turn to what God says, because you can automatically have a thought. That thought does not mean it's right.
Amen.
You know, God's scales are just. You know, he will not judge something in an improper way. Always going to be fair. It may not seem fair by the eyes of an emotional person, but God's judgment is fair. Once you come to that knowledge, this is what God is saying. You have to stand on that and not be moved. Because every decision
Amen.
That God allows you to make is not going to always be popular.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, one of the things is once we receive a revelation and we decide to make a decision, you know, to bring it into reality on whatever the subject or subject matter is, as Christians, we have to take patience and brainstorm and map out the revelation to make it clear and plain for those that are becoming a part of that vision or that what you're trying to do to impact your society or in the nation that you're in. And it all depends on what type of level that you are as far as a Christian leader. But as you know, as we read in Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk, I'm reading from verse 1, it said, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see he will speak to me, to see what he will speak to me. So he's going to take time, he's going to take patience to sit and see what God is saying about this thing, and myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, scribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. But we just, you know, jump off into the decision that we make without making clarity, you know, in order to bring it into fruition, you know, and see the fruits of it. If we don't clear it out and plane it for everyone that has to play a role in it, then it won't reach the potential that it needs to. And once a decision is made, it will need to continue to be developed and transcended accordingly. So you take Reverend Cho, when he started out with the G12 concept, it was a proven method and a proven principle to develop kingdom, build up the kingdom, and put kingdom mindset in the minds of the people in that nation, which was a nation that did not know Christianity.
Yes.
So, and here he has Prayer Mountain where people come, million people per day are coming there to pray. That is impacting the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. So we have to begin to move forward where we are developing and transcending kingdom principles into the mindsets of the population instead of sitting and waiting and allowing the world to transcend and develop our body of Christ, our population, lest the apostasy sets in, moving away from the faith continues to set in from generation to generation. So Christian leaders must make deep and penetrating assumptions, generalizations, and even pictures or images that influence Christian behavior and understanding to, you know, transcend it throughout the whole world. We have to begin to move make sound decisions, but also firm decisions that are going to hold and that will not shake and waver. Minister Belinda.
Yes. You know, when you said that, it is so relevant and important because I've been under leadership that said the vision but didn't give it clearly. They would say stuff in authority, but in a like it was one person. But it's not, because you're dealing with the body of Christ. God said a body. You may have leadership, but you are still a part of that body. And you have to take in consideration those that are underneath you. And they have to have a clear, you know, a clearness of that vision, an understanding of it. Otherwise, then the enemy comes in with confusion. And where there's confusion, you're going to have division.
Yeah. Chaos.
You know, but what you say, when it's precisely, you first have to get an understanding of it before you present it to the people. And then it has to be you have to pray that you give it in the tone and in the love that God says to give it. So much detail goes into, you know, bringing people forward. You just can't say, I'm the leader, and this is the vision. And everybody better follow me. Well, right there, you're going to have rebellion. You know, you have to come, sit before God, and, okay, Lord, what this vision and how does it work? How am I to put this together? What are the tools that I need to present to people, whether it's visual, you know, audio, all those things? When people can get an understanding, they feel that they have a voice in that process, you know, to allow people to discuss the vision, you know, have an input, then you feel a part of that. But it's important to give that understanding and to know what God is saying and how to present it, you know, and how to utilize all the gifts that you have within that body under that, you know, whoever's going to be in that portion of it, their gift. How is God going to use that, you know? If you want it to be able to be used. And I'm not saying it's accountability, because there has to be a structure in there.
Yes, yes. There has to be some, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Accountability is so important. So important. One person should not be running everything and with no accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen more churches because there's no accountability. And according to what God says, you know, not a screaming match.
Amen. I agree. Yes, I agree with you, Minister Belinda. Accountability to whatever decision is made. You know, instead of making a decision and then running and tucking your hide and saying, no, it's not me who decided that. Or making a decision and, you know, just getting behind the door and making it appear, giving an appearance that someone else has made the decision, but you didn't. If you're making a right decision based on the kingdom of God, you should be able to be accountable to that decision that is being made. It shouldn't be that you can't stand in front. You should be able to be transparent. You should. You shouldn't have to hide and say, no, I didn't sign this when you signed it. You made a decision to sign it, or you make a decision to do a financial transaction, and you find that it flops, and all of a sudden now you want to say, no, I didn't do this. It was thus and thus. That's not being accountable, and that is not Christian. So in order to be a Christian leader, you have to align with biblical principles, the Word of God, and if you fit off into the promises of God, you have to know that there's conditions to every promise that says, if you do this, then I will do this. If you trust in me, I will plant you by rivers of living water. So with every promise, there's a condition. So in order for, go ahead, I'm listening.
It's like the body. I have said this to people, and they've got offended. I said, this is not a free-for-all. I said, God loves us, but there's another side to God. There is a condition. You can't obtain these things. Grace has a place. But you better go to God and understand where grace stops and where there is accountability. If you do these things, you have to do something. It does not come just, you know, out the air, and I don't have any responsibility. That's not true. There is a condition.
Amen. 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 It is a condition. And you know, we as the body of Christ, if we are going to be true Christian leaders following after the path of Christ, as you said, one of the things is when we make decisions, we have to remember that those decisions that we use to influence individuals and groups, it should be to mobilize resources and work together to build up the kingdom of God. It shouldn't be about ourselves. And as you said, it cannot be a one-man show because when it's a one-man show, is not for following the pattern of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who took on 12 disciples to do the same work that he was doing. And even he said there will be greater works than these, because I always like to make this point that if it was that he didn't want Peter to do the same thing that he did, when Peter said, Lord, bid me to come out of the boat, Jesus would have said, no, Peter, stay in the boat because you can't do like I do. But Jesus Christ didn't say that. He said, come, because he wanted him to see that he can do and experience the same thing that he was doing, walking on the water. So this is the nature of Christ. So as a Christian leader, you can't say, you know, you can't be walking on the water and all of a sudden one of the ones that you are influencing or the people that you are mobilizing to do something, you saying, no, you can't walk on the water like me. But you should be rather trying to teach them to walk on the water, that when you are not there, that they will be able to stay afloat during every storm that they see. You should be attaching them to the vine of Jesus Christ, that when they are in any situation, they don't have to run back to you and get down, kneel down before you and ask you, oh, please help me, oh, please help me, that they can cry out to Jesus Christ himself and ask him to save them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. True discipleship does that. When you disciple, you're supposed to enable them to do the very thing God says to do. They should be able to leave amongst you and go teach someone else, and they teach someone else, and each one of them can stand and are working in the fullness of God. That's what Jesus did. He did codependent. He taught them to go codependent on God, the same God he depended on. And they were able to do greater works.
Amen, amen. And even, I mean, you know, because Jesus didn't, he was more, he had disciples under him. So he was discipling them and teaching them for when he left, what, that they would continue on the pace. So anytime when you don't leave a legacy behind to generations to continue the pace, then you have to look back and question, God, am I doing the right thing? Am I taking the right path in what I'm doing? Am I really reaching someone? Am I impacting anyone's life? Is there any change in their life? If there's no change, then you have to look back and you have to begin to question yourself. And then you have to look at the other person that is following you. Are they ready to change? Or they seeking the same God that you are seeking.
Yeah.
Then you can start making proper decisions. Do I let this person see themselves in the mirror that they are not changing, or do I let them see themselves in the mirror of God that this is what how we're supposed to reflect and look like? Or and making sure they're not trying to look like you. You know, just simply because maybe you drive a nice car, then they want to look like you instead of look like God. That's not Christian leadership. No. And it's not about, you know, or, you know, they looking at you have a diamond, so they want to follow you. No. Or you have something and they want to follow you. That is not Christian leadership. Christian leadership is transcending down Christian values into the mindset of people, Christian principles, kingdom of God into the mindset of people, and helping them to remain attached to God themselves, not being reliant on you to know God.
Amen.
This is Christian leadership, and then when we are making decisions to impact the body of Christ, we should keep these things in mind. Christian leaders must have highly developed sense of contextual and Christian intelligence to understand followers when motivating them and making assumptions. So how do we get Christian intelligence? The only way we can get it is through the number one series that we said, worship, faith, continuous interacting with Jesus Christ. Interaction with Jesus Christ, continuous redevelopment and transformation of the mind in the Word of God, fellowshipping.
Yeah.
These things will give us Christian intelligence. But if we are feeding ourselves with things of this world, we're going to, guess what? That thing is going to be on our mind all day. That thing is going to be in our spirit all day. That thing is going to be in our senses all day. That's what we're seeing, hearing, and smelling and tasting. But if we are getting things of God, if we're worshiping him throughout the day, if we're talking of him throughout the day, if we are looking at things that pertain to him throughout the day, reading things that pertain to him throughout the day, just saying, Holy Spirit, have your way with me today. To get Christian intelligence, we have to seek it. Seek ye the kingdom of God first. And all these things will come into place. So it's very important that we remain in the context of the Word of God and get that Christian intelligence.
Yes. Yes.
So, yes, and then Christian leaders, we have to, so in order for us to, you know, critically and strategically impact the body of Christ, we have to be strategic. We have to be organized. We have to make strong financial decisions in order to impact the body of Christ, because we shouldn't just build a church. The church should be extending out to society. We should by now have our own hospital. We should have our own grocery stores. We should have our own mall. We should be building to where we are able to function and work and continue to build up the kingdom of God. When you look at the Jews, for instance, just looking at the Jews in New York alone, when you go into certain areas and where they sell jewelry or whatever, the first thing you will see is a temple. Their temple is in the midst of all of these stores that they have built up around it. Why would they do that? They want to be, first of all, in a place where they can go worship their God. They want to also be able to sustain themselves in that environment. The body of Christ has to do more and even more so, because we are, I mean, why take a person who say, oh, I'm sick, why take them to a worldly doctor? Why? Even the doctor may be worshiping fetish things on the side, and you going off into that hospital, or the doctor could be a satanic worshiper, or he could be a Scientologist. Why not build up our own kingdoms where when we go off into an environment that we know that this is a Christian taking care of us, that this is someone who believes in our Lord and Savior, this is somebody who's going to pray before they even come in the room to see me. In Jesus' name, Minister Belinda.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am.
So, yes, we're in a season where the Christian leaders have to think more than just within the box. We have to begin to transcend out of our local way of thinking, and we have to begin to impact the nations, not only the nations in the national standpoint, but globally. And we have to extend it out more than 25 years at a time. As the world is progressing 5 years at a time, we're waiting 25 years out to catch up with the world. We should be moving far faster than the world, because when God created this world, he started with order. He put things in order. He said, let us do this, and then they did it. There was order. There was order. He said, let us do this the next day. And then they moved and they did it. He released the word of order of how it was to be done, and then it was done. Why is it that now everybody just come in and they start doing things? One person will be over here doing this. another one be over here doing that. No, that is not kingdom mentality. That's world system. And if it is that the world is increasing faster than what we are, then we have to sit back and look and look at what are we doing as being the body of Christ. How are we helping our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? I can imagine how many times the world is getting, the world system, the satanic system, the cosmos system, is benefiting from the blessings of the kingdom of God. God has blessed Christians. God has blessed Christians, but they failed to see their blessing. And instead of taking that blessing and building it up and using it for the kingdom of God, it's being handed over to the enemy, released into the hands of the enemy, released into the hands of the enemy. Body of Christ, wake up in this hour, in Jesus' name. Minister Amen. Belinda, would you like to share some few final words on
yes,
decision making in the calendar?
Yeah, it's for God's glory, and I go in prayer because I say, Lord, what is this about? You know, do we have to have such elaborate churches? You know, do we have to spend money on this and that? And where is the money that, you know, he said it's a house of prayer.
Amen.
You need something decent, but all of this elaborate stuff, what for? When people don't have roofs, need roofs on their houses, you know? People need items to exist. Is the increase just for us to keep putting more shoes on our feet, or you know, there has to be a balance in this thing.
Yes. Yes, and we have to look back and see, are we doing what God wanted us to do?
Did God say to do according to scriptures? You know, what was Jesus doing? And what did they need? You know, what is the real need and what is our excessive want? And that increase is supposed to go out to help others that don't have.
Amen.
Someone to live. You know, to help them to have something that they can make an income with. You know, the training, the housing, mm-hmm. the like you said, medical. The other night I watched a little program with children. These are children. And they're saying there needs to be a change in this world. We each individual can see what we can do to help somebody. And these little kids were gathering up groceries and taking it to their neighbors.
Amen.
They were saying all the trash that we have in the water. What can we do to help?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, they were questioning it. I'll tell you, if you ain't got
Amen.
No food, how do you feed your kids? And somebody comes by that don't know you from Adam and says, God told me to bring you some groceries.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, it's also about teaching the kingdom, because you can put food in somebody's hand. You can put food in someone's hand. But if they haven't developed the mind, they may eat the whole bit of groceries that same day instead of knowing that I need to experience of time. They may eat the food. And then if there is a tomato, if there's something with a seed in it, how can I double this seed that it will last me, not only me, but my generation, so I can take the seed out of that tomato and plant it and bring something, some fruit will come out of it. So it's a matter of transitioning the mindset of the people also, because we have to develop these new mindsets that will take something. If I put $1 in your hand, how will take a, have a mindset to say, how can I double this $1? Instead of saying, oh, this $1 is not enough.
Yeah.
Do you understand me? Because you can put $1,000 in somebody's hand, but it may be gone the next day. How many of those people who won the lottery? We read countless stories about people who won the lottery. $1 million in your hand. 6 months later, you're broke. It's a matter of the mindset. So you can put so many things in somebody's hand, but if you don't shift their mindset, it will diminish in time. It will disintegrate in time. So will you be accomplishing the goal that you are hoping to achieve by giving them a charity that will last them for a lifetime?
Yes.
You understand? Because unconditional agape, the love should be there, but how can I truly help this person where it will transcend their life, where they will take this and that it will flourish just the same way God has given me a seed and it's flourishing? How can I help this person right here to see that if I put the seed in your hand, how they can just take it and flourish with it, you know? And it's a foundation that's sure and set that's going to establish them from a lifetime and also their generation. So, yes. We've been doing it based on the old charity way. You know, the Jews have the Hebrew have a way of providing charity, but they place it in the hand, and it's more like a welfare system where the person becomes dependent on it. But in the kingdom of God, the way Jesus transcended it out, he was releasing something, a seed, into the belly that said, no matter what you put in my hand, it shall increase.
Yes.
And the violence shall take it by force. And when the violence take it by force, what will they do with it? What is the next step? You understand? Yes. So the Christian mindset has to be shifted, and the mind has to begin to adapt to a new way of thinking that no matter what I have, if I have nothing today, tomorrow I shall have something. It shall manifest something.
Yes.
Not that when I lay down today, I don't have anything today, and that's it. No, we have to be able to think that, no, tomorrow is mine. Tomorrow is a new day. I have to make something. I have to reap something, whether it's a penny, whether it's 4 cents. I have to reap something this next day. But if I sleep in the morning, I lay down and say, oh, this is it. There's nothing else to it. My mind is not transformed and renewed in the likeness of Christ. My mind is thinking like thinking of someone who don't even know Christ. You see, there's many people like that now in the church. They think like that. And that is not what my Father, Abba Father, has released out into the mindset of Christendom. No, that's not the mindset he released. Or the mindset is that, oh, I'll wait and I'll go and ask my mother, and my mother will give it to me. Oh, I'll wait. No, my auntie, she's a millionaire. Let me just call her and get it. No, that shouldn't be the mindset of the Christendom. The Christendom should be able to stand. If you have a seed in your hand, it's valuable.
Yes. You don't
if you have a seed in your hand, it's valuable. Hey, Johnny Appleseed, when he began to plant those apples throughout America, look at it now. He took a seed. But if the mind is not transformed to think like that, they will look at the seed and they will say, oh, let me throw this in the trash. It's making clutter. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm. But see, that's the principles of God. And it's not just about charity, you know, giving somebody something, enabling them to learn the principles of God, to come out of poverty, and how to increase, and how to be an overcomer. And those are kingdom principles.
Amen.
Yes. See, just
with
the charity thing, and the person, all of that comes into that aspect of the kingdom of God, you know, and comes into discipleship. It's learning how to use your finances wisely, how to become towards the head and not the tail. You might start out as the tail, but you stay in God, you're going to be the head.
Amen. Amen.
You know,
the head and not the tail. And I haven't heard it in so long. You don't hear too many people saying it too often. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the head and not
the
tail.
Head.
You know.
Yeah. That's it. I claim it. I walk and I want freedom. I want freedom, not bondage in finances. That's not what God said. He said he came to give us a life more abundantly. That means in every area. He didn't limit it to one place.
I want to close us out with this remembrance when for the body of Christ. We're coming up to the last 3 minutes, and I know Minister Belinda, I've been enjoying this topic that we've been speaking on today on Kingdom Empowerment Inc., Blog Talk Radio Show. But I want to close it out with the remembrance that when Abraham was going up to sacrifice Isaac, he said, "My God shall provide. Yehovah, Yehovah, Yireh. My God shall provide." Body of Christ, take remembrance. If you are a Christian leader today, take remembrance. What are you teaching the body? Are you teaching them dependency? Or are you teaching them that they have the authority and influence to impact the world, impact the nation? Think about it today. And as always, we love you. And we just want to give you a continuous reminder to seek ye the kingdom of God. Minister Belinda, can you close us out in prayer in the last few minutes that we have?
Yes. Yes. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for the wisdom and knowledge that has been imparted through your word and by your spirit, God. And every individual, God, we ask of your body of Christ, come into the fullness and the knowledge. And we will learn, God, how to walk as the head and not the tail. And we will see the benefits of that. But, Lord, you said that it is your will for us to prosper, God. So, Lord, teach your people how to walk in all areas of prosperity in the knowledge and the wisdom of you, God. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God, the Most High. And as always, as I said again, Body of Christ, we love you, and we pray that you will join us back here next week on Thursday morning as we discuss Christian leadership and share kingdom keys from the kingdom of God based on biblical principle. God bless you, and may the grace of God be with you. Amen.
Amen.